Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Motorsports NRL Show. I'm your host, Lainey Arrowsmith, and wherever you are, at home or in the car, or if you're tuning in for the first time, thank you and welcome. So joining me on the panel for another episode to share our hot takes, our mistakes and opinions that aren't fake, welcome back Lachlan McIntyre and Georgie Sumter. How are you both, and how was your long weekend of football?
Yeah, I'm really good. Thanks, Lainey. It was a stressful weekend for me watching the Tigers get their back-to-back wins. A lot of pacing around the living room. But otherwise, yeah, it was nice to have the whole weekend, a bit of a break, a bit relaxing at times. Yeah, some great games. How are you feeling, Georgie? How's your Easter?
Yeah, it was fun with a toddler and an Easter egg hunt. Lots of footy, 5 days. I was just saying to the guys that I just can't remember it all. It was just so much footy. No, it was good. Good games, really good, cracking games.
Yeah, actually really good games. Well, we missed you last week, Lachlan. I hope you didn't take too much offence at my prediction of what you would have said about the Tigers that I mentioned on the show. I don't like to put words in people's mouths. But look, before we sort of get into it, you know, you said there were a lot of games, but there were some big crowds that really turned up for the weekend of football. I was at the Broncos-Cowboys game on the Friday night, and there were over 45,000 that turned out to Lang Park. It was packed. It was very steamy after the rain. That was actually the largest crowd turnout for the round. And I think the lowest was actually at Shark Park, being only about 12,500. So I think a lot of people were really looking out to enjoy their footy and head out to the park, which is good. That's what we like to see.
It's really great to see. Yeah. And it also brought in this question of whether Easter should be, I guess, the Easter round reformed a bit, which I think we might talk about later in the news, maybe just to get more crowds in Sydney.
Well, so on the show today, we'll dig into our best and worst performances from the past long weekend of play, a particular upset that has some fans champing at the bit for another pounce. We'll opine on the rugby league headlines that has come out of round four. So our tips. Now, none of us picked the Sharks and they came out with a win. Lachlan, you and I both got 5 out of 8. And also thank you for sending through your tips while you're away. And Georgie, you got 4 out of 8. So I don't know whether you've noticed this, but when I do send you the run sheet, I do have a running tally along the bottom of how we are faring as the season goes on. Just to give you a sort of roundup, Georgie, you are actually in the lead. You've got 19 out of 4 rounds. Lachlan, you have 16 out of 4 rounds, and I have a 13 out of 4 rounds. So I think I keep going for those upsets. How are you both feeling about your tips this week? Do you think you'll be a little bit more adventurous, or you'll just be conservative?
You just can't pick them. What you pick is not going to happen. Simple as that. Just anybody, it's anybody's game this year. Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah, it is too early on. I think it's good to remind ourselves of that as well at times. It's easy to get ahead of ourselves.
Wow. We'll be talking about that a little bit later. Right. So, look, I'll ask you both. Who was your best team or player for the round that was played? Because there was a lot of great football. I'll start with you, Lachlan.
I can't really go past my Tigers, to be honest. I think it was just they won it in their defence. They were far from perfect. A lot of errors, a lot of forced offloads that really were not necessary and put themselves under a lot of pressure. But they, in the face of adversity, they kept giving away penalties, giving away six agains. But they just kept showing up for each other and defending, and I haven't seen that from a Tigers side in a very long time over the course of 80 minutes. So for me, it's the Tigers holding on to beat the Eels, and especially Stefano Tuikamanu in that starting prop role, played 52 minutes and had some killer stats. I really hope he ends up in the New South Wales camp this year. What about you, Georgie?
Yeah, well, I've got 3 good games, Broncos, Panthers and Tigers. Adam Reynolds' kicking game in that weather to start really put the pressure on Drinkwater at the back there. And Paddy Carrigan getting the Carl Webb medal. Loved it. Loved everything about it. Dylan Edwards, he's a quiet achiever, isn't he? He's underrated at the back. Annoys me, but he plays for Penrith. But, yeah, he's a really good fullback. And as was Tristan Saylor stepping in for Reece Walsh, I love seeing him in the back there. And Aiden Caesar, yeah, kicking his kicking game for the Tigers. And I think Michael Ennis, Yeah, I think seven times he said veteran of the game in about 2.5 minutes. So veteran of the game, Aiden Caesar, had a really good game for the Tigers.
Yeah, those are all really good shouts. Look, I only had down the Broncos and I just wanted to single out Adam Reynolds because I quite often, say on the show that I'm really worried about Adam. He's kind of, one of these injury prone guys. He is a veteran as well. But like he was quite masterful. And I know everyone tends to go on about Nathan Cleary a lot when he's at halfback, but actually was quite happy to see the old Adam Reynolds come back again and just playing in the same sort of form and just really very strategic in a lot of his kicking and just managed to lead the team around. So very impressive, I thought. Right. So worst team, underwhelming team or player for the round. I'll start with you, Georgie.
Let's go on with the Titans. Gee whiz. I thought it might have been a bit better game, a bit closer game. And the Raiders just let it all get away. And Ricky was not impressed, and nor should he be. They could have went on to win that and just really died in the backside, didn't they? They're my picks.
Yeah, I'll add on Manly into that mix. I think that game was incredibly winnable for them, and they just forgot how to do the simple things right. And you can't do that against any NRL side. And the Dragons showed them, made them pay the price, and got on the Dragons for that. But yeah, Manly should have won that game, and they are really disappointing. What about you, Lainey?
Yeah, fair shout. Look, Lachlan, I actually did have Manly down. And when I went back and had a look at the stats, they had all of the possession of the ball. But yeah, they just couldn't hold on to it. But yeah, quite disappointing. I did actually tip the Dragons to win that match. So, it was the outcome that I was hoping for. But actually, my close second to them was actually the North Queensland Cowboys. Look, they didn't have the hands to keep on the ball throughout most of the match. Quite a few handling errors there in that rain in the first half. So a couple of shockers. So that was Dolunyi and Drinkwater. I think they just kind of got the yips after the first couple of errors, and then for the rest of the match, they just continue to have a bit of a shocker. So those would be I'd probably call out the Cowboys and those two players in particular. I'm sure they'll fix it all again by the time this week comes around, though. Actually, I was just going to add to that. I know the Roosters lost to Penrith, but I don't know if you recall from last year, they talk about the Panther effect, which is every team that gets beaten by the Panthers the following week usually goes on to have a really big win. And I was thinking about that at the Broncos match because I thought, oh, because my sister's a Broncos fan. And I said to her, I'm going for Cowboys because I tip the Cowboys, but I love them both. And she said, who do you think is going to win? I said, I think the Broncos are going to win because of the Panthers hiding last week. So with that said, I probably am predicting probably a bit too early in our show, but I think the Roosters next week might be the team to come up following in the same effect. Who knows? Just putting it out there. He was one other thing before I forget and before we move on to our news stories. So Clint Gutherson, look, let's touch on this Tigers game because I think being the last game of the round, I know that we often talk about how the final game of the round can always be just kind of magical and mysterious. Weird things happen in the last round. And that Parramatta Eels versus West Tigers game, like Lachlan, you talked about it before, Tigers are sitting sixth on the table, which is quite refreshing, really. I'm sure they're happy about it. I'm sure Benji's happy about it. But I mean, what a way to win. I mean, I don't know if any of you managed to catch those final minutes or see the press conference that followed afterwards, but for the listeners who haven't had a chance to watch that game, spoiler alert, the West Tigers won. But Clint Gutherson had a shot, a penalty goal after the full time siren, and that actually would have given his team the win. But the Parramatta captain, he shanked it from the 40-meter line, well, nearly at the 40-meter line, to try and make that goal. I just wanted to sort of get your collective sort of thoughts and opinions about that. Are you thinking, oh, poor Para, poor Clint, or are you thinking, no, let the Tigers enjoy it now and good on you, Benji? Because that's how I felt about it.
Well, it was a damn hard kick. So I think, firstly, nothing against Clint Gutherson for missing that. I don't think there's many players in the NRL kicking that in any sort of consistent manner. But I don't think Parramatta deserved to win that game. They had so much attacking opportunities and they didn't score. So I'm very proud of the Tigers. And I'm very glad we ended up winning that. And just to see Benji and Robbie smiling in the coach's box means the world to the fans. So that's my take.
Did Benji smile? He waited right till the end, didn't he? And I like his blazer when he comes out now for his press conference. I thought it was quite funny how Clint Gutherson's like, "Yeah, I'll take the two. This is going to be easy," and thought he'd get it in. And then, yeah, as you said, to shank it out to the left was quite funny to watch on TV because I think that Adam or Nathan would have kicked something like that. So, but as a professional kicker and a goal kicker, he should have got that. Maybe I could have got that. I fun fact, I broke my leg trying to kick conversion once in a pair of UGG boots. So. Yes,
See,
I got the conversion after a while, but
that's a PPE fail right there, Georgie.
is, yeah.
But yeah, hopefully the next time you try, you'll be wearing appropriate footwear. But yes, I think it's a kick that I think a rugby union player might make much more than a rugby league player. I mean, we seem to see a lot of them with much more accurate and powerful boots to reach that sort of distance quite consistently. But Clint's probably going to spend the next 3 weeks practicing that in case it comes up again. But I heard this really outstanding stat that I think it was the last four matches, or it was the last three matches that the Tigers had beaten Parramatta Eels at that venue. It was by 1 point. So, way to be consistent, Tigers.
I think,
Dharma.
and I think you said that, didn't you? By 1 or 2 points.
Oh, yes, I did. What a fluke. Wow, just like that win. Jokes. Joking. It was all defense. It was all defense. All right. So, let's just sink our teeth into some of the top NRL stories. It feels like we only just finished football and then, here we are recording the show. There's already been a bunch of things coming out in the press, obviously. Players and changes and looking to exit contracts. But let's start with this one first. So the bunker. It feels like the bunker seems to get served up every few weeks, and it's usually in the first, 5 or 6 rounds, and then we hear about it again, sort of pre-finals, and then around about finals time, you're just grateful that your team doesn't, you're just grateful that your team gets the rub of the green. But look, it seems to be the favorite topic this week. We had it last week. Ivan Cleary and Wayne Bennett also. They were among those who were commentating on, the recent obstruction decisions and saying that discretion must be applied. There's also been talks about, it's not always black and white. There has to be a bit of a grey area here that needs to be thought about in terms of interpretation. Look, I had like five examples that I shared with you of decisions that had been kind of questionable. Which I think a few players have come out and questioned as well. I think Graeme Annesley is going to be working a little bit of overtime over the next couple of days to work out what the narrative, or not just the narrative, but perhaps what the statement will be that will be acceptable to fans. Wanted to ask you guys, what are your thoughts on what some of these bunker decisions have been? I mean, like some of them have even equated to some losses. And that's 2 points that a team misses. 2 points make a difference. As the season goes on, I'll start with you, Lachlan. What are your particular thoughts of this? Because I know officiating's a kind of a funny one. We talk about its consistency, but again, here it is again. We're talking about it again. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think as always, it's just about consistency. But then it's tricky because you can't ask for consistency and ask for a grey area at the same time. I don't think those two can really reconcile because you've got different referees in the bunker who are going to be viewing that grey area differently. So whether the answer to that is to make it more black and white or be more accepting of how a referee views it, which is a big ask, I know. It's tricky. It's tricky. I do think a lot of it still is in player behavior. It's tricky to get out of the line, especially for those lead runners who are coming through and need to be ready to catch the ball. But then if they don't, they need to get ready and get set for the next play too. So it's tricky for them to make a decision whether to keep running through the line or get back and get ready. And that's where you see these forwards, big forwards, getting stuck in the line and causing the obstruction. I do think there is one area that I think could just be black and white, where there shouldn't be any grey area, and that is the inside shoulder ruling. It's been a key thing in plays for a long time. And I think if a team stuffs that up on an attacking set, if a whole runner runs the wrong line and the person around the back gets it on the inside shoulder, there's really no excuses there. That's just the attacking team stuffing up, even if that doesn't end up completely impacting the play. I think that's a basic starting point where we can go, okay, that's black and white on this ruling. But it's tricky. There's always going to be conflict over whether referees have the right call or not. I mean, I don't think I can add to the discussion too much more than that. I don't think anything I said there is really helpful in terms of finding a solution. But also just time as the season goes on, I think hopefully we'll settle down, especially through the middle rounds. And then, yeah, as you said, Laney peak up again towards the finals.
Always the losing team, though, that tends to be the most verbal when it comes to like bunker decisions. If it goes their way, they're usually rather silent on it, or like the coach will come out and say, "Yeah, I'm not sure about that" in the press conference. But Georgie, what do you think?
I hate the bunker. I do. You have two touchies and your ref. And if we can see it live, which we do, why do they need to go to the bunker? What are they looking at? What are they watching? That's been my argument since they got it. They didn't have it before. And I think it's ruining games. I had a look at what the points that you had down. And what's his name? JWH. He had gone through the line. So he'd done what they'd asked of him. Dylan Edwards wouldn't have made it across there to make that tackle. Where did you want him to stop? Did you want him to keep going over the dead ball line? Like, it's a bit ridiculous. Like, he went through the line. He did exactly that, what they've asked for. Yeah, it's ball discipline. It's so poor. You have to hold that.
But
But
also, but if the bunker's going to rule on it, right, at least be, I mean, what are you there for in a roundabout
yeah.
way? You know, I
So
mean, surely you
he's
can put a call down to the ref to say he dropped that ball.
he dropped the ball. Yeah. And they're going to let go of it. Like, they know how to play it. They know how to lay down. They know how to milk a penalty.
That's
Like,
true.
the
That's
players
true.
know all of this. But yeah, just get rid of the bunker. It's like going back to one ref. It's like when we had two refs. Man, I hated that. Just ridiculous. Don't need two refs. Good. Now we don't need the bunker. Get rid of it. Simple as that.
Okay.
And
So
I think the rules would be, it would come along and players would be more happy with the rulings that way if they're not having the bunker overrule everything or overturn everything. It's either a try or it's not a try. Simple as that. And I had something else that I didn't like. Challenges. Hate them. Don't want challenges.
I love the challenges. I think
Ah.
Rory Searle has been like pulling out challenges for the Tigers, because often the Tigers are on the wrong side of some of the referee decisions. And like last match, not the one, not the Eels one, the one prior against the Sharks, all of his challenges were successful, and he was basically doing the referee's job for them. Which, I mean, like, I understand the value of a challenge, but then again, it's like, well, why can't the referee, the touchies and the bunker, just do it? I mean, are you expecting the captain and the players to also referee the match? It's kind of bizarre.
Well, I think the whole point of the bunker, really, sorry, Lachlan, was the bias to stop, because it's quite clear refs and touch judges don't like certain teams or players. Like, that's entirely their business. But as an armchair critic, that's what we see. That's what we see on TV. We're not there. There could be some beef they've had 10 years ago. Who knows? But I just, yeah, I just, that's Lady, it's true. That's how it feels as watching a game, is that they're favouring teams. So I think that's the bunker's brought in to be, but the people in the bunker are referees, so it should be not a referee or a touchy. It should be somebody completely different. Have someone from the UK, ship them in. I don't know, get them to watch a game. We've got all this technology. Somebody completely neutral, if you're going to have it.
You
Does
mean
that
like Graham Annesley?
No, because he's just
Yeah.
looking after his own backside sometimes when you watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah, on that, Georgie, I think I should say I did think some of the calls last weekend were pretty ridiculous. And I think a bunker official should be a separate role to the referees. I think that's a separate should be a separate system to the referee system. We shouldn't have an on-field referee, you know, being like demoted to the bunker or anything. I think they're such different roles. I do think the bunker is necessary. I think if there was no bunker, with the amount of angles we've got right now, we'd become our own bunker and see every little mistake that's made by those on-field referees. I think it'd drive us insane. But yeah, there's a heap of room for improvement, as last weekend showed.
Good points, both of you. Thank you. And some that I hadn't even considered. I still like the challenges, though. All right.
Oh yeah, I don't like the challenges. Hate them.
You
Just
don't like the challenges,
my
Lachlan?
piece. I don't like the challenges.
Do you not like them for the same reason I don't like them, that the players are expected to referee as well, or it
There's
just
like no
slows?
tension on them anymore. It just slows it down. There's no novelty either. There was a novelty a few years ago. It's just, yeah, it's a nothing thing now, I think.
I think the game is becoming quite, there's a lot more rules, there's a lot more new stuff. I know that it's going to be sort of evolving as time goes by. It'll be interesting to see in 10 years what other changes there are that come into the game.
Yeah, like you think about the game now, we've got like the six against. That's a massive, massive deal when it came in. I think it still is. It's changed fundamentally the game quite significantly, I think. But yeah, and it's interesting that things like that tries to slow it down and increase the flow of it, make it more grassroots feel. And then we've also got the growing influence of the bunker kind of counteracting that. And I think it's a bit, don't really know which way to go the NRL.
Don't you feel the six again was just a cover up from that era for the Raiders? That's how I look at
Yeah,
it.
I'm
Like,
sure about that.
the first 6 months in the next season, how much would the Raiders hate hearing that? Like, terrible.
Georgie, not trying to start a fight on here, right? All our
Oh,
Raiders fans come at you.
they will. But no, I'm on their side. It shouldn't have happened, you
Yeah,
know?
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling every time it happens, we'll be hearing about it from Ricky. Okay, on to the next one. Now, look, Lachlan Galvin, was he like 18, 19 years old? I thought I saw a quote in the last week where he was saying, "Oh, my mum was only making my lunch, making me a packed lunch 5 months ago." Just a bit of an idea of just how young he is, playing for the Tigers, as was he 5'8"? So great guy. Just as a note, before I get into this, I remember watching an interview with Benji Marshall actually this past week, and one of the sideline journos was asking him about, oh, what sort of advice do you give Lachlan? And he said, you know, I try not to give him too much information about, you know, what he needs to do on the field, otherwise he's unable to concentrate on the main parts. But I remember the week before he said, I just said to him, no, actually, I apologize. Lachlan Galvin was asked on the sidelines post-match, what does Benji say to you to ensure that you're on top of your game and playing well? And he said, Benji's really relaxed. You know, he just told me to kick when I think I should kick and pass when I think I should pass. And I thought, well, that's really, really straightforward sort of advice there. But I like how Benji's keeping it simple, really. He's not overcoaching the guys. But sorry, I just go on a little side tangent there. But yeah, Lachlan Galvin was hit with a grade three dangerous contact charge for an incident involving Parramatta's Kalma Tuilagi. So that means that will be a 2-match suspension with an early guilty plea. It was a hip drop tackle. I think I saw one only last, I think it was during the Warriors match that I saw a hip drop tackle as well. Is this something that we should be worried about coming back again, or is this, do you think, just a one-off for the hip drop? I'll start with you, Georgie.
Well, I think it was Max Plath for the Dolphins. He got the same. So I think it's fair. I mean, it's unintentional. You could see how upset Lachlan was doing it. But yeah, it's got to be stamped out. I mean, it can be so it is so dangerous. And the player, I can't think which one it was, guy with the blue headgear for Para. He was hurt. He went off. So
Yeah, Kalma
yeah.
Tuilagi.
That's him. So it does have consequences like that, the injury, and if that, you know, if it costs you a teammate, that's a team a player that you need down the track, and that's out with broken something or other, yeah, it's just got to go. So I think it creeps in when they're not expecting it, to. I don't think it's something that's going to be all the time. Yeah, you lock on.
Yeah, I agree. I think for both Max and Lachlan, 2 weeks is fair. It's pretty consistent as well, I think, that ruling. Yeah, I don't think it ever really stopped, to be honest. It's kind of been consistently happening, these hip drops, for, I don't know, probably maybe a year ago we were talking about what a hip drop tackle was,
Yeah, that's
and kind
right.
of working out what the definition was. And yeah, I don't see it slowing down anytime soon, unfortunately. But yeah, maybe, hopefully, less than two per week would be nice, because they do have a significant impact on games, especially with the players being sent in for it.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I highly doubt that Lachlan Galvin will be making that tackle again. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's certainly learned going forward. And I think he's actually going to be more thoughtful about that in the future. I mean, if guys like Mike Acebo can, and Victor Radley and a bunch of others can actually adapt their tackling technique, and then be able to come back and not be repeat offenders, I guess is probably the right way to say it. Then, Lachlan's still quite young. He'll be able to train it out of his out of the way he plays. But I was thinking about this. If Lachlan pleads guilty and he gets suspended, he's pretty much disqualified from the Dally M's. And I was reading a lot of tweets yesterday about him being, Dally M Rookie of the Year, just give it to him now. I think a lot of people sort of had high hopes that he'd be able to sort of snatch that for this year. But with this charge, he actually won't qualify, which is kind of unfortunate at this early in the round, too.
Yeah, it's how it rolls, I guess. I mean, as long as he's doing his job for the Tigers, I think everyone will love him anyway, so.
Yeah, good point, Lachlan. I agree.
He's a long way to go. He's going to have a great career ahead of him.
Yeah, he's played three NRL matches, like that's so little, and he's come like straight into the NRL side. He's got like no open age experience whatsoever, essentially. So,
Pure
yeah.
talent. Wow. All right. I guess we'll be hearing his name a whole lot more as we continue to watch. Well, here was another little tidbit of news. It's a rather strange one that I raised with each of you. So Mitchell Pearce. So apparently he's returned to Australia after doing his Catlin's Dragons, stint. He's only been back a few months, but apparently he confirmed rumours that were sort of circulating that there was an approach from Parramatta for him to fill Moses' absence. Now, I don't know if it's one Mitchell out and another one in, but kind of interesting news. I'm not sure if there is even, look, maybe it's me, but it feels like a sniff of desperation if it is true. And apparently the source of the call is yet to be confirmed. That's just like, the usual stuff that comes out of it, write a news article and get someone asking on a podcast. But should we be calling on old players to return? And if it's true, a follow-up question, does this mean that Brad Arthur isn't doing enough to blood upcoming players and build that depth in the Eels? Who wants to go first on this? Because reading this, I just thought this surely cannot be real. Mitchell surely cannot be entertaining this return.
He isn't. He came out and said he's happily retired with some random from in the team at Para that's come out and asked him. I mean, if it was serious, you'd have seen stories of him and Arthur and sitting in a cafe talking, isn't that what they do? Or Gus Gould with him or something like that, isn't that what happens? It's just crazy. No, they shouldn't be calling on players to come out. It's like getting Alf back. I mean, he did a good job, but really? We don't need to be doing that. And yes, like as you said, there should be the young players that they're bringing through their system, their ranks, grooming them, like the young Snyder fella that was for Penrith and like, Tristan Saylor sitting behind Reece Walsh and all of that. They very much should be doing that. And if they don't, sort that out. Simple.
Yeah, well said. He did have a bit of a quiet retirement over there. He kind of trailed off playing for Catalans and then ended up in the French Elite One League. It's a semi-professional competition before retiring. I love that he did that, by the way. I think it's great that we have those players over there in the south of France. But he is only 34. I don't mind it from the Eels. I mean, it shows their thinking, I guess. But yeah, there was never a chance that he's ever going to come back to play for the Eels. There's no motive for him, essentially. And I don't think it'd be a good decision for the Eels to sign him anyway. It's better to build this backup halves pairing anyway. I don't think it amounts to much at all.
I was just having a look here to find out who is the player that's come in to replace Moses. So that's Dylan Brown. I mean, is Dylan Brown not doing a good enough job that you?
Oh, but you've got it's Blaze Talangi,
Oh,
is that his name?
Selangi. Yeah.
Joining him in the halves, who actually played with Lachlan Galvin at Westfield Sports High, which is pretty cool. But yeah, he's another very young player. He was quiet against the Tigers, that's to be expected. But Dylan Brown, it really is on him to step up. The Eels also have quite big raps on their halfback in New South Wales Cup right now, whose name is escaping me, unfortunately, right now. But maybe we'll see him get an NRL debut in the coming months if this partnership doesn't really gel. We'll see.
Yeah, that will be interesting. Now, I'm excited to see what Eels do. I'm wondering whether they're a little bit lost without Moses at the moment because they looked very lost in that match. All right, and then the final headline I've got here. Look, Gold Coast Titans, David Fifita, the back rower. Apparently, he's been rumored to try and trigger a get-out clause of his contract, which will allow him to hit the open market after round 10, which is rather soon. And that's only if he feels like it. I'm not sure how I feel about this. He's on a high-value contract, and I'd say him sort of staying with the club was part of the offer that he negotiated as well with that contract. Look, what are your thoughts? I mean, we're starting to hear a few more players who are looking to exit early or, unhappy with where they've been shifted to. Look, I'll ask you, Lachlan, do you feel like Dave Fifita should go? And if he does go, I'm not sure what club would take him. What thoughts do you guys have on that?
Well, if he does go, the Titans are stuffed. I mean, they're already stuffed. They've got no Tino, and if Fifita goes, they are in big trouble. If David Fifita goes in round 10, they will be wooden spooners, 100%. I mean, you obviously don't know what's going on behind the scenes at the club, and that makes it tricky to comment on this, I guess. You don't know what his relationships are like with everyone else at that club and why he might want to leave. So yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens. I think a lot of clubs would be eager to take him, to be honest, but it's whether they have that kind of room in their salary cap, but also just their plans for the season, to make that adjustment to bring in a big name player like Fifita midway through the season, I think would be tricky for any club, but we could see a similar. I remember Pangai Junior coming over to Penrith for that like final series and or like Sonny Bill Williams. I know it's a very different situation, but I think a lot of clubs would be eager to find out more. But yeah, I don't think he will leave. I'll say that now. I think that's unlikely, but we'll see.
Well, what's the point of contracts? This does my head in. Another thing, what's the point of them? And what's the point of having a clause that, oh, you can get out early if you're not happy here? So the Titans are losing and he doesn't want to be a part of it. Is this what's going on? And I'm pretty sure David Fifita, isn't his manager his mother? Is he one of those players? So I believe him moving from the Broncos to the Titans was waiting for her decision at the time if it was good or not. It's like I can't deal with these long-term big money contracts because this is what's happening. So, you're better off saying to them, 2 or 3 years, we'll see how this is going to go. Like, it's the same as Tamalolo up at the Cowboys. I mean, he's on a great wicket, but where is he? Like, how many times has he touched this ball? How many tries has he got in the last couple of years? Like, it's absolutely ridiculous paying them this amount of money and they're not performing and then they want out. Oh, and I really don't think, where would he go? Really, where would he fit in and where would he go?
Well, I think, look, I mean, a guy like Dave Fifita, if he can remain injury free for most of this season, come around round 10, if round 10 comes up, I think he'll have a hard time being able to negotiate an out or any club would take him. But he's on like a, is it 2.4 million dollar contract, which is huge. Does that just seem really high? It was around about $1 million a year, was what.
And it was like a 5-year contract, wasn't it?
That's
Like
right. That's right.
something like that.
Maybe he doesn't want to
It's
be with a losing team, Lachlan. I don't know if that's the right.
I just I don't yeah, I hope that's not the case for Fifita. And I think if clubs thought that was the case, they wouldn't take him. In which case he wouldn't be searching for an out. So I think there might be something else going on behind the scenes. Because I mean coaches talk, everyone in the NRL community will talk and know that if this is on him, I don't think any club's gonna take him. Yeah, I'd love to see him at the Dolphins if it's going to be a club. But yeah, I think it's unlikely.
Why would you want a player that's like that, like
Yeah, exactly.
in that nature? Oh, I've had enough. I don't want to be here. How are his teammates feeling about this? Are you going to go out there and that old mate here next to me doesn't really want to be here? Is he going to have my back? Is he going to catch this ball? Is he going to be all right? Maybe he needs to ship on over to the Super League or something. Like, off you go. If that's how it's going to be, because like you said, everybody talks in NRL and everybody can see what's going on. So me as a player, I wouldn't want someone that feels like that coming to my team.
Yeah, can't trust them. Can't trust their
Integrity.
commitment. Yeah. I mean, like, look, not to like spend too much time on this, but I mean, like, even Zach Lomax a couple of weeks ago when he got moved out to the wing and he was dissatisfied with it. But I think people thought that he would sort of drop his play You know what I mean? Like his quality would drop, but it hasn't. He's been having like such a great performance. He's been playing so well, and he still wants to get out. So,
He's out. He's out of today.
yeah, right.
So
Oh,
he finishes his season with them, didn't you? You hadn't seen that today?
no, I didn't get around
Yeah.
to it, but
Ooh.
thank you for bringing it
He
up.
did not see that.
Finishes.
Okay.
Oh,
Oh,
yep.
well. Breaking news here on Mojo Sports.
Breaking news.
So,
It was this afternoon. Sorry, I should have had it ready.
geez.
Zach
Yeah, I think
Lomax was.
that's a good point. Lainey, just about, I guess, professionalism too. Like, I know Zach Lomax is a debatable one to talk about professionalism, but I do feel like David Fifita has been doing his job in the Titans in a poor team, perhaps not playing to his best, but I don't think he's been letting down his teammates in any sense. So yeah, I don't think there should be much doubt cast by his teammates on that, hopefully, as a professional athlete.
Well, you'd hope not. Yeah, Dragons confirmed Zach Lomax depart the club, season end. They're cutting out the contract for the next 2 years, basically.
So look, I mean, good for David. Hopefully he doesn't continue to look. Hopefully this doesn't hang around and he does stick in with the Titans. He has signed a long-term contract. And also for Zach, if he does go to Super League, good on him. You know, hats off. It would be probably a great career change and a change of scenery for him. So at least he got what he wanted. I don't know whether Ben Hunt's sort of wondering, well, how did he get that? And I didn't. So maybe his contract was a lot tighter. All right. So that, thank you both for sharing your insights and your opinions about the headlines. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about that's come up or breaking in the last few hours that you wanted to discuss? Actually, Lachlan, you wanted to talk about a topic that you raised earlier. I don't know if that was something you wanted to bring up here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's too important. Just there's a bit of some people floating the idea of, I think it was Joel Kane actually floating the idea of four game, like Easter weekend, a game on each day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all at Homebush, Acor Stadium, and with aims of getting over 40,000 with just Sydney teams there on each day, which I think is very plausible. I don't think there's too much to discuss about it. I just think it's an interesting idea. I'm not sure I'd like it really, but it's interesting.
So it's kind of like a magic round, but an Easter round.
Yeah, I guess it would be, but it'd be just Sydney teams, and the rest of the competition would go as normal. It'd be those four games that are regularly played over Easter. But
Yeah.
yeah.
That could work.
Yeah.
During the Easter show, parking though is a bit of an
Yeah,
issue down there.
I think you need to do like a deal with the Easter show and get all the showgoers to come over afterwards.
That's true. Just moving more to Shark Park. I mean, it's small enough. It doesn't get this. It's got like a maximum capacity of 15,000. I think it's got 11,000 seats and 4,000 for standing. So, you could fit in a couple of carnies in there. Set off. Anyway, I'm probably being quite mean as I say that. So yeah, good idea, Lachlan. I think it would work. Very plausible. All right. So look, we've got our round five matches coming up. Top eight teams as per the ladder. This is, I touched on one team in particular before, but top eight teams as per the ladder. From the top to number eight, we've got the Dolphins, followed by the Panthers. Then we've got Cowboys, Sharks, Storms, West Storm, West Tigers, Roosters, and Raiders. Georgie, both our teams are in the bottom eight. Souths and Titans are at the, are the bottom two teams. And Titans have actually had no wins since the start of the round. And I think Souths have got like one win out of four. So yeah, kind of interesting. But yeah, how good is it? Tigers are up on number six. Oh, I'm actually really enjoying that. It's good to see their logo up the top, sort of near the top for a change. All right, so for round five, the Sharks have the bye. Cronulla Sharks, they're probably quite happy with themselves after that win over the Raiders, taking the week to work out how to beat Souths in round six at Homebush, no doubt. All right, first match coming up. We've got the Melbourne Storm versus the Brisbane Broncos. Look, I'm thinking this could be the match of the round. Bit of a thriller for the first game. So that's on Thursday at 8 o'clock down in Melbourne. So I think Munster's actually back, and I think Jerome Hughes and Christian Welch are back. So, Storm are the favourites. Georgie, I'll start with you. Who do you think is going to win, and what margin do you think?
Well, I always tip Brisbane if they played like they played last week. Melbourne at home with all those crew in though, tough one. I will stick with Brisbane for my tips, but I think they will get beat by Melbourne. But I'm going to go Brisbane by four. Let's try that.
Yeah, I think for me it's going to be tricky to go against the Storm with those big ins, Munster, Hughes and Welch. I think that makes a world of difference for Melbourne. And I think they should get the win. I'm going to go by 10.
Storm by 10.
You heard it.
Ooh. I'm going to go for, oh, I'm going to go for the Storm too, Lachlan. It's Amy Park. You know, they all get quite excited down there whenever they play. And I think a lot of teams have some really terrible records of winning down there. So I think because of those ends, I'm going to have to go for the Storm. I can't give you a margin. I reckon it'll be, you know, look, what have you got? +4 for Broncos, +10 for Lachlan, for the Storm. Oh, let's just say +6 for me, just sort of in the middle there. Right. We've got on Friday out at Olympic Park, we've got the Canterbury Bulldogs versus the Sydney City Roosters. Roosters are the favourite coming into this. It's a 6 o'clock game. You know, Friday usually gets a really good turnout. I wonder if they will for this. I'll ask you, Lachlan, who are you tipping for this particular match and what margin do you think?
I will go Roosters by 20. I think it will stay tight in the first half, and then I think the Roosters should be able to run away with it. I think judging by their performance against the Bunnies, I don't know. We'll see. I'm pretty confident in this one. Yeah, Bulldogs haven't shown too much. What do you reckon, Georgie?
Well, see, I did have the Bulldogs, but then Laney said something about a Panther effect. And now I'm sitting here looking at the teams. I'm really, oh, I don't know. I watched how the Roosters played the other day. It was okay, but it wasn't great. Oh, this is a big one. Should I jump ship or stay with the Bulldogs? I'm going to go the Bulldogs by 6. I'll stay there.
Ooh. Wow, okay.
Oh,
spicy.
that's tough.
I think for me, like the Roosters beat Rabbitohs, was it like 48-6 2 weeks ago? And then the Bunnies just beat the Bulldogs. I think, I know it's not unheard of that like circle happening, but it would be absolutely insane, I think, if the Bulldogs won. And that doesn't mean it's not going to happen because we've seen some insane things. But it'd be very logical for me, at least, in terms of looking at the results. I don't know.
I think one of their better players, Jacob Preston, is actually out for Bulldogs. So, I mean, of course, and I'm just following on through the Panther effect, so I'm tipping, obviously, the Roosters. I just want to see whether this is true, but you know, the teams do put on a big score. Lachlan, I think you might be right. I think it might actually be more than 20 points between them, but I'm going to say 14 for me. Georgie, I'll be watching that game for sure. All right, later that evening, we've got the Newcastle Knights. They'll be hosting the St. George Illawarra Dragons over in Newcastle. It's the 8 o'clock game. Knights are actually the favourite for this, no doubt because it's at their home ground. So, I mean, we know that the Knights coach, he had his 100th milestone for the Knights last week, and that was spoiled by the Warriors. Ponga and Frizzell, I thought, were basically the standouts of the match. But okay. Knights, Dragons. Dragons have come off a win. Knights have come off a loss. I'll start with you, Georgie. Who are you tipping and what's the margin?
Under the Knights by 2. Yeah, after how they both played last week and the week before, could go either way this game. Should be a good one. But yeah, Knights by 2.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much in a similar boat. I'll go by 8, but yeah, I do think it'll be tight for the Knights. I just think the Knights have had some unlucky ones. I don't think they were too bad this weekend against the Warriors necessarily. I think the Dragons, if there's one thing we can count on for them, is being inconsistent. So yeah, I reckon the Knights can stop them from backing up.
Oof. Okay. I hadn't actually thought too much about this match because I thought they're kind of 50-50 at the moment. They sometimes have good and bad games. But because it's over in Knights territory, and I'd say the Dragons are probably feeling themselves a little bit after that win on the weekend, I'm going to go for Dragons. I can't believe I'm tipping the Dragons again. You know, I tipped them last week, but then they won, which I'm happy about. But I don't know, maybe the sun is sorted out. Is Flanagan like making some good changes over there? I mean, they seem to look a lot happier. Lomax has gotten his, you know, his out. Everyone might be playing like as if it's sunshine and rainbows. They'll probably come over to see the Knights and be in happy land. So yeah, I'm going to say Dragons by 4 points. I think it'll be gritty and a little bit ugly. Okay. So the Saturday match, it's over at Olympic Park, that's 3 o'clock. So this is also one that I think might be quite an exciting sort of mini match of the round. We've got South Sydney Rabbitohs hosting the New Zealand Warriors. Just before you provide your tips, just letting you know that the Warriors have confirmed that Luke Metcalf will spend a lengthy stint on the sidelines, so he's out after it. So he'll be out because he's undergoing some surgery. I think it was from that Tyson Frizzell
Yeah,
tackle.
broken leg. Broken leg surgery today.
So I saw him get carted out of the stadium. Apparently his girlfriend was just standing by and crying, really upset about it. And I also see here that Alex Johnson's also out for South, so he tore a hamstring in the second half of that match against the Bulldogs. Now that you know that, I don't know if it's done anything to change your tipping favour, but I'll start with you, Lachlan. Who are you tipping for this match and by what margin?
Well, I initially saw this and thought Warriors, and then I thought about it a bit more, and I think the Rabbitohs, I think maybe all they needed was the win, was the one win to click into some sort of form. And that's the philosophy I'm gonna run off here when I say Rabbitohs by six. I think the Warriors have been playing better of late. But I do think it'd be like the Warriors to have the rubber the green go against them here and the Rabbitohs end up holding on. So that's my tip. What do you reckon, Georgie?
Yeah, well, having AJ out is a big out. Isaac Tupua Thompson, I don't know how to pronounce that, but he's coming in for him there.
Tu'itupol Thompson.
Thank you. I knew you'd know. I don't know why they just can't have just plain names, all of them. Anyway, Rabbits by eight. I think that I did see this afternoon Cody Walker's going to be a dad again with his new flame. So. Maybe that being out in the open, he can concentrate on footy now. And well done, Cody. He can, lead the team around as a senior player, and maybe that win from last week kicked them into gear. I did still have a quiet wife, I might add. There wasn't too much cheering because I think didn't think she thought they'd get over the line. But however, I picked the margin in that game, I might add.
You did, you did.
Never happens ever do I pick a margin. But the Warriors, yeah, still they were quality last week. Really did wish I tipped them over there at home. So remind me when they're at home again, please, to tip them.
Didn't you say you thought it was going to rain? That's what you get, Georgie. You should have tipped
Definitely.
it. Also, actually, while we are talking about perfect margin tips, Georgie, you tipped the Titans Dolphins game perfectly as well last round. You and your 13 pluses.
Okay. Two.
Right.
That's one for the history books.
Well, I think it's no surprise I'm going to go for the Warriors. I mean, I'm wearing the shirt. I actually got invited to go to this game from a South fan, and they said, "Oh, I've got these mad tickets. Come out and watch the game with me." And I'm like, "I'm going to be in Brisbane, but I'd love to be there for a Warriors match." So I'll be there in spirit. But yeah, I reckon it's going to be tight. I actually think it's going to be about 2 points, and I think it's going to be some penalty at the very end, which will be a kick that will end up getting the Warriors over. I reckon too, they'll get a really good Warrior fan turnout at a core to kind of rival the Warren. Is that what they call it? Where all the
The
South fans
borough.
hang? Oh, the Burrow, the Warren. But yes. So I think it'll be a good turnout. And I'd like actually to see what signs the South fans turn up with to try and contest with the fan signs from the Warriors camp. Okay. So Saturday, is that right? Yeah, Saturday at 5:30, we've got the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles. They'll be hosting the Penrith Panthers. Panthers are the obvious favourites. So it's Saturday at 5:30 over at Brookvale Oval. I'm gonna ask you, Georgie, who are you tipping for this for a win, and what margin are you thinking?
Penrith plus 13. I mean, how they played last week, can't stand them, but gee whiz, they played well. And like I said, I was banging on about Dylan Edwards. He really stepped up like he was supposed to. Isaiah Yeo, he leads them well. And you know what I think of Luai, but I think he's kind of quietened down being separated from Crichton and vice versa. I think Crichton's still finding his feet over the Bulldogs, but I don't think that they still have that. I say grubby streak in them. I think that seems to be under control a bit at the moment. So it was good to see. I still think Luai's been was a bit quiet, and I think he's a bit worried about re-injuring himself, and he really needs to be involved more. But the other players for Penrith, Yeah, Brad Snyder, like you said, Lainey, he stepped up and was coached well by Nathan and his father into that spot. Liam Martin coming off I think he only had a minute or two off and had to go back on for the big fella, Eisenhuth. I think he's named at 17, so he passed his HIA. But yeah, they have quality players in spots, and that annoys the life out of me. But Penrith by 13.
Yeah, I'll go Penrith by 13 as well. I do think Manly will bounce back a bit from last week. I think they'll play pretty well in the first half. I think they'll keep Penrith. I think they'll be a bit embarrassed by how they performed last week, and they'll respond to that. I don't think they're anywhere near as good as Penrith are, and that's what it'll come down to in the end. So, yeah, Penrith by 13 for me. What about you, Lane?
I didn't give a margin, but I just had Penrith will win because they've got a great side, right? Here we are talking about like Brad Schneider. So Brad Schneider up against Dale Cherry Evans. I'm actually really excited to see that match up. And like your point, Georgie, you said that Luai was a little bit quiet. I actually felt he worked really well with Schneider in that last match, probably a lot better than we've seen him work. Maybe even during the end of last season for Penrith. So I'm also interested to see what the difference between him and like Rooks and whether Luke sort of steps up his game a little bit and whether he and DCE spend some time sort of, researching the dynamic between Luai and Schneider and how they can sort of just antagonize and disrupt their particular flow in the game. But yeah, I'm going to go for Penrith. But if the Seagulls get a win, good on them because they're starting to fade a little bit and I'm getting quite worried about Manly. There
On
you
a piece
go.
of paper, they're a good team, but they just can't get it together, can they?
There were a lot of errors in that last game too. It was kind of bizarre. Kind of bizarre. All right, so the last game on Saturday is actually the Dolphins versus the West Tigers. So this is at 7:35. It's over at Lang Park. Look, I'll ask you first, Lachlan. It's your team. Who are you tipping for this match, and what's the margin?
I'll just say I'm pretty nervous straight up. I think it's a very important game for both teams. I will back my Tigers in for this, I reckon, by about 10 or so. I think I'm not going to say we've turned a corner or anything, or that there's finally hope or whatever, because there probably isn't. We've had a lot of these false dawns, but it does feel good in Tiger Town right now. There's a good atmosphere around Lake Idoba. I did a little like pilgrimage to Lake Idoba yesterday, actually. After the game, I walked there and walked around, came back. Felt very good. But I think it will be interesting without Galvin. It's really going to be a test of Sullivan for the first time, really, in a Tigers jersey with some real pressure on it, because I think it is a very winnable game against the Dolphins. So yeah, I think if we do what we did last week and defend our hearts out, I think the Dolphins have less in attack than the Eels do. So yeah, fingers crossed. What do you reckon, Georgie?
Yeah, well, I've got the Tigers by two. I think how they picked themselves up and came back was incredible this weekend just gone. It was a real testament to what their winning feeling is, and a testament to them. I think Jaden Sullivan's a good replacement in the halves. He knows how to get a job done as well. So him teaming up with Caesar should be good. Insane. I mean, it's, yeah, 2 points, but the Dolphins with Uncle Wayne coaching. And that they're on a roll, they're on top of the table, and who'd have thought? Anyway, not us.
Well, both teams are coming off wins, like 2 wins, and they're kind of 50-50. They're kind of the same this season. They've had 2 out of 3, but Dolphins have actually scored more points. So part of the reason why I'm tipping the Dolphins is because the Dolphins also they might not necessarily always start strong. I don't know whether they just sort of spend that first half of the match trying to tire out the opposition, and then they sort of come in the last 20 minutes and score a bunch of points and then like steal the lead. Yeah, kind of what they have been doing. I wonder if it'll be that for this. So I'm saying it's going to be a 6-point margin. I'm calling Dolphins. It's over at Lang Park. There's a big fan, like support up there in Brisbane who happily turn up to Suncorp to support them. So I think it might be 6 points for me. All right. I guess this is just another weird little Queensland derby after we had won this past round. So Cowboys, the North Queensland Cowboys take on the Gold Coast Titans. Just a quick note, daylight saving actually ends. So you feel like you're waiting a little bit longer to watch this match at 4:05 p.m. So it's over in Townsville. I'll start with you, Georgie. Who are you calling for this? And what's the margin you're thinking it's going to be?
Cowboys 13 plus. I mean, I did see all the good in the Cowboys the other day. The rain was a little bit against them because they're just used to humidity and then no rain, aren't they, up there? And they seem to have afternoon games. So I think, and the way the Titans are and what's going on there, they're not used to Dez and his ways. They are going to be wooden spooners, so I think, the Titans. I can't see them getting a win here against, Chad Townsend, Jordan McLean, Reece Robson, Tommy Dearden. They're all doing their jobs. They're all working real hard together, and a very good team.
Yeah, I agree, Georgie. I think the Titans are pretty rubbish at the moment. Unfortunately for them, I think the Cowboys just have some strong players in key positions and they'll be able to get the job done. What do you reckon, Laney?
I agree with you. I agree with both of you. Cowboys, they play well at home, natural environment. Titans are travelling. And I don't know if any of you saw, like, post-match, the last round. They just looked so defeated. I mean, yes, they were defeated on the field, but they looked so defeated because I think Des Hasler just came in and gave them all a spray as well afterwards. I think he went after Tanner Boyd first. My guy, what's he doing to my guy, Tanner Boyd? And then I think he went up after Dave Fifita after that. So a lot of choice words and a bit of readjustment for the Titans. I'm not sure what mood they'll be in, but hopefully one that will get a win to save that lecture after the match.
So that's why Dave wants to leave, because he was yelled at by the coach.
Who
Now we
knows?
know. Now it's all coming out.
I reckon Tanner Boyd's looking to leave too because he is not, he's been copping a lot of heat about his skills and ability as a halfback at the moment because he's just sort of falling short of what would be expected for this level. Interesting. Maybe Zach Lomax will go there. Maybe, maybe. All right. So this is the final match of the round. So that's the Canberra Raiders versus the Parramatta Eels. This is on Sunday, 6:15 p.m. It's down in Canberra. Look, I touched on this before, but yeah, Ricky Stewart's press conference after that last loss, the last round in which they lost the Sharks, he just slammed his players, talking them embarrassing. And I think one of the journalists had even called out Timoko, being a solid player, and he said, "Nobody was solid tonight, mate. There wasn't a player on our team that was solid. Don't be giving praise to people that don't deserve it." It's just like very scathing, even from a coach. Maybe I just haven't seen any of Ricky's presses in a while, but he doesn't go after the whole team. He goes after players. All right. Well, with that, down in Canberra, I'll start with you, Lachlan. Who are you calling for this match? Who's going to win it and what's the margin?
I like the Eels. I think they should have learned a lot from last week. I think it's very important to them to win this game, because otherwise, like they should have learned a lot from last week, basically. And if they don't play better, it's some pretty bad signs. I think the Raiders. I think if the Eels play better, they should win, no matter how the Raiders play. I think the Eels are a better team than the Raiders, honestly. I don't know. I know Sticky's been in the business for a long time, but I don't see how that press conference really helps anybody within the Raiders. I found it quite annoying to watch, to be honest. And it wasn't like it was a complete catastrophe that game. Anyway, that's his business and that's how he chooses to coach the team. So, yeah, for me, it is Eels by 8.
Not bad. What are you thinking, Georgie?
Well, I've gone the Raiders. I might, go by 6 here for the Raiders. They're probably not game enough to lose after that. Yeah, it is uncalled for. That's true. He was pretty peeved off, wasn't he? But that's the life of a coach, and that's what they get paid the big bucks for, and the players get paid the big bucks for, and to let a game get away like that. So yeah, I the Eels did play well, but they also let that game slip away. I think what they were 16-4 or something at one point. So, yeah, no, I think the Raiders aren't game to lose. Yeah, Raiders by 6, and they're gonna win.
Oh, okay. Well, I tipped the Raiders as well, only because I think the Eels are going to be sort of still working it out without Moses. I mean, like, there were some really weird, desperate plays that they made in that last match. I don't know if it's because they were just in their head so much they weren't thinking right because Moses wasn't there to lead them round, but yeah. It's, yeah. And I just think after this past Sharks loss, Sticky's going to be really, really annoyed. I don't know. It's kind of like having an angry parent Like, you know what I mean? You know, the next time you just want to like, oh, we better not make them angry again. I better perform well. I think some of the Raiders players will be like that. And I also thought it was kind of sad that it was a loss too, the way it was after Jordan Rapana was hoping to celebrate that 200 game milestone too. So, oh well, that is life, and that is Raiders life. So, okay, those are all of the matches. That is our show.
What,
Thank
sorry,
you.
what's your margin for that game?
Me, oh, I'm going to give it 4 points only because,
And they're at home
yeah,
with
Waikiki
that
Clap
crowd.
Town. Right. Thank you all. Thank you. That's our show. Lachlan and Georgie, as always, many, many thanks for your insightful contributions on the show today.
Thank you, Lainey. Thank you, Georgie.
Thank you both. It's been great.
And thank you, listeners. If you're going to any of the matches, be safe, take care, and have fun. We appreciate you tuning in, and we will catch you all next week. And thanks for joining us again on the Mojo Sports NRL Show.